worried or anxious, but I do feel some things in my spirit. I just want to share those. And so I'll just start with this. When we were, those of us that went to the Alpha Conference, we went to Phoenix in the last week in January, and we were there in Phoenix, and I came across in my news feed, which I get from Epoch Times. By the way, if you want a great news source, Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, Times, they're phenomenal. Anyway, and the founder of that company had escaped communist China, and so they have ties to China, and so they know what's going on in China maybe earlier than a lot of the news sources do. So, and I saw this coronavirus. That was the first I'd heard of it. And immediately as I read this this little news feed, in my spirit, and I didn't say this, but in my spirit, I heard pandemic. And I didn't say it. I didn't want to prophesy that. But I had our group. I said, you know what? Let's pray over this coronavirus. And so we prayed. And so when I got back to here to Montana, about a week later, I'm just praying. It might have been a week and a half, something like that. But I'm kind of stirred up in my spirit over this coronavirus. There's a lot of other things in the news, but this wasn't really much in the news. But in my spirit, I was stirred up about it. And so I just kept praying. I kept praying Psalm 91. I was praying over the U.S. And I wasn't getting any resolution. And so I went online. I went to Amazon, and I looked for, I'm like, you know, I'm just found face masks, and I grabbed a box of 100 and put it in my cart, in my Amazon cart. You could buy them back then. And so I grabbed this box of 100 because I don't have just a family of 7. So I grabbed a box of 100, put it in the Amazon cart, and I put it in the cart, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, did I tell you to do that? And I'm like, wait a minute, is this the Holy Spirit or is this my prophetic gift? And so I was processing this, and I'm like, I'm praying, and I'm just like, oh, Holy Spirit, you're not telling me to do this. This is my prophetic gift. And so I took it out of the cart, and I didn't buy it. And I'm glad I didn't buy it, because you don't need it. And I don't need it. We don't need it. So, but the coronavirus is something for us to be aware of. But I felt like I want to start this message with a little bit of coronavirus humor. Okay? So, but I need my glasses. Okay, so this was a sign. This was in Costco. It says, now look what y'all have done. Costco is out of toilet paper for the next 23,000 years. The sign says, we are out of toilet paper. More arriving March 1st, 25020. Sorry for the inconvenience. Okay, how about this one? If you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a 14-day quarantine, you probably should have seen a doctor before now. All right. This was an online ad, for that good toilet paper. It says, I have 2 Charmin Ultra Soft double rolls, never used. Great for taking crap off when you're in a hurry. No warranty and no lowball offers. I know what I have. Maybe willing to trade for a 4x4 truck. People are so afraid right now, you could rob a bank with a booger. I'm sorry. Okay. The visual of that just is... oh, my. All right. This came from Benny Johnson. It says, I have 22 rolls of toilet paper, 1 gallon of hand sanitizer, 5 bars of soap, 3 N95 masks, and 150 bottles of water. Looking to trade for a Ferrari or Rolls Royce in cash. Some people aren't shaking hands because of the coronavirus. I'm not shaking hands because everyone's out of toilet paper. Okay, and then this sign was posted in Round Rock, Texas. It says, Texas Coronavirus Prevention. Wash your hands like you just got done slicing jalapenos for a batch of nachos, and you need to take your contacts out. And the little print, it says, that's like 20 seconds of scrubbing, y'all. So, and then this came from Victor Marx. It says, kill germs the Cajun way. Use Tabasco hand sanitizer. Not only does it kill germs, it also prevents you from sticking your fingers in your eyes, nose, and mouth a second time. All right. So, you know, all of us need to be able to acknowledge the facts while standing on the truth and not partnering with fear. You know, for some people, the response to not partnering with fear is to stay uninformed. And that's not really, that's not overcoming fear. That's just kind of burying our head in the sand. I think it's important to be informed. Sometimes we can just stare at the news and there's not be aware of the spirit of fear that's behind that and end up really in a place of fear. And so that's not good either. But it's important for us to be able to acknowledge the facts while standing on truth. And I was inspired as I was thinking about this by the story that most of us are really familiar with, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And so I want to read this couple of verses out of Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And so, just a reminder, you know, that there's a time. It's like we have to be able to acknowledge the facts, but stand on a higher truth. And so, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they acknowledge the facts. Hey, you can throw us in the fiery furnace. Okay, that's a fact. But the higher truth is we will not bow down to your God. And our God can deliver us, and he will. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. So I want us to look at a few of the facts regarding the coronavirus. But I want you, you know, again, it's like we have a God in heaven who's on the throne. And he is in control, and he has never let any one of us down. He is with us. So, this slide, I got this slide from the website informationisbeautiful.net, and they collected most of this information from the CDC, from Johns Hopkins University Medical Center, and then also the Chinese CDC. So, with the coronavirus, 80% of those that get the infection experience a mild symptom. So it's like the flu, stay at home, you get better. But there are 20% of those that get the coronavirus require hospitalization. And within that 20%, the fatality rate is about 3.5 or 3, somewhere around 3%. And those that are most at risk are the elderly and anyone whose their immune system may be compromised for some reason or another. So, excuse me, this came from a study of 44,000 cases in China. So how contagious and deadly is it? I don't know if you can see that very well, but so COVID-19 is that kind of, that little, you know, square, orange kind of box square. They don't know enough yet to kind of pinpoint it, but that's the range. And so if you look at the scale on the left side vertically, that scale is the percent fatality rate, and then the scale on the bottom is how many people one person typically average infects. So you have the transmission rate on the bottom and the fatality rate on the left side. So as you can see, coronavirus is not like off the charts. It is about 10 times worse than the seasonal flu, in terms of fatality rate, and it is also a bit more contagious than the flu. But if you look, you know, look at the far right in terms of contagiousness or the transmission rate. So chickenpox is way more contagious, measles, norovirus, and then in terms of fatality percentage, you know, you can look up this, go up the scale. Spanish flu had a 10% fatality rate. The Spanish flu, if you're not familiar, was a pandemic that occurred in 1918, and about 50 million people were killed worldwide from that. It was a pretty severe pandemic, and that was the most recent in modern history pandemic. So, but then, you know, you can look up the chart there: polio, smallpox, MERS, Ebola, bird flu. Ebola is about 50%. So coronavirus, you know, it's not like off the charts like some of these other viruses. But it is something that is serious. It's something that we need to take seriously. So this chart shows that dashed dotted line represents the healthcare system capacity. And so what is happening right now is the government is working to what they call flatten the curve. What they don't want to have happen is they don't want a transmission rate that is so fast that our healthcare system can't keep up. And so that's what happened in Wuhan, China, in Hubei province. That's what has happened in Italy and Iran and a few other places. So the thing with the coronavirus is that because it's new, you know, it's called the novel coronavirus, it's new, so people don't have immunity yet to it. We don't have vaccinations. And so when it comes through, as I said, 80% who contract the virus, you know, they have mild flu symptoms, you stay home, you get better. That's fine. It's the 20% that require hospitalization. And that 20%, when there's a rapid transmission rate, that 20% can absolutely overwhelm the hospital system, the medical system. So the way that you stop that, the way that you lower that transmission rate is by limiting movement, limiting public events, limiting movement. And what they did in China, and of course China is a totalitarian regime, but they halted, they just shut down Wuhan completely. They shut down, I think, Hubei province, and they didn't allow any movement at all, and they got a hold of this thing, and so they got ahead of it, and they really slowed the transmission rate down. It's amazing. That didn't happen in Italy, and so Italy, northern Italy, where this broke out, is there. It's like a war zone. If you read anything about it, you know, they have now locked down the entire country All businesses are shut down, all except for grocery stores and pharmacies. My news might be a few days old. I don't know if anything new there, but in Italy, they had a very fast transmission rate, and so it spread very quickly. It absolutely overwhelmed the hospitals in that region. They could not keep up, and so then what happens is then you have nurses and doctors that are they're exhausted. They're working around the clock. They end up getting sick. It's dangerous for them as well. They have constant exposure to the virus, and it can become very dangerous. So the point to this is that, as I said, we have to be able to acknowledge the brutal facts while not giving way to fear, while not partnering with fear. Okay, hey, these are brutal facts, but we have a God in heaven, and we have authority as his ambassadors, as his people on earth. And I want to talk a bit more about that. But I also want to point out that there's a difference between wisdom and fear, right? So there are things that are wise to do. You know, sometimes I think we can have the idea like, well, you know, that's partnering with fear. Well, not necessarily. It might be for some people, but, you know, there's utterly a difference between fear and wisdom. So what we have to do is we need to watch over our own hearts to make sure that we are not partnering with fear, but at the same time, listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to the authorities and walking in wisdom. Can you say amen to that? So what we want to do for us, as you know, as a church family, is we want to follow the guidance that the government, the civil authorities, give for us, because I mean it's really important. You know, they're gonna do everything. They are doing everything they can to flatten this curve, to slow the transmission rate, and then it won't be a problem, and it'll be something that just blows through. So these are some of the facts about the coronavirus. So let's talk about, what does God say? So you know, I love I've got both of those. I love this passage, both of these passages. Luke 10:19. Says, Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I want you to say, nothing will harm me. Okay. Matthew 10, verses 7 through 8, Jesus was commissioning the disciples to go, and he says, as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. This is the, you know, how many know, like, the spiritual realm, the realm of God's kingdom, is more real than the realm that we walk in, right? So we have authority that God has placed in us, that we have as his representatives, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to change the reality of the world around us, to bring heaven to earth. I like what Seth said earlier, that there is no coronavirus, there's no virus in heaven, and that is our mandate, is to make heavenly realities earthly realities. That is what the Lord calls us to do. And so that is, I just want to remind you of the authority that we have. And here's what Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Say this. Say, they will recover. All right. So for the remainder of this message, I want us to look at Psalm 91. And so before I read that passage, I just want to tell you a story. I was, Carolee and I, she was pregnant with Nathan. We had two little boys. She was pregnant with Nathan, and we were moving from Great Falls to the Valley here in 2001. And we had our house for sale. This was June of 2001. We had our house in Great Falls for sale, and there was just so much happening at that time. And I don't remember all the details. I just remember being in this place. I was so stressed out. I was really, really stressed about, I don't know that we had a purchase offer yet, and all this stuff that had to come into place. My last duty day was coming up, and I don't remember all the details, but I just remember that I was extremely stressed and anxious about what we were facing. And I opened my Bible, and it just opened. I don't remember details of this. I just know that the Lord took me to Psalm 91, and it was so clear that He was speaking to me, Psalm 91. And so I highlighted, and this is kind of my, I used to do this all the time. I really don't do it much anymore, but for times when I felt like, when I feel like the Lord is speaking to me directly through His Word, I would highlight it in red. Other places are highlighted in yellow, things that just stand out to me. But whenever I felt like the Lord was speaking directly to me through a verse or through the Word, I would highlight it in red and I would put the date. And so, I remember being, I must have been, I was, we were at Bethel, we were at Reading, and I was again in another situation in 2007 where I was facing all this uncertainty. I really didn't know. I was stressed out. I was trying to not be anxious, trying to trust, but I had resigned from one job, and I, the job that I thought I had, the offer had been taken away. And so I had now five kids, so seven mouths to feed, and I didn't know what the future held. I was in a difficult situation, and I could see my income running out because I had resigned from one job already. And somebody spoke, I think it was during this time, and somebody said to me, and they said, you know what? They had this prophetic word. And they just felt like the Lord had told them to remind me. They said, you have a promise of Psalm 91. And I'm like, yeah, well, doesn't everybody? You know, this is what's going through my mind. Don't we all have this promise of Psalm 91? And I went, and I opened my Bible, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this experience that I'd had where I highlighted the whole chapter, and I wrote the date down. And I wrote the date, and it was 6/11/01. It was June 11th of 2001, and so what the Lord just kind of showed me, like, hey, you know what? I gave you Psalm 91 plus 1 days before 9/11, which I had forgotten about this whole situation, but the Lord had used that in my life to just kind of like as this prophetic sign of the reality of the promise of Psalm 91. And I just want to say that to all of us, you know, this is the promise of the Lord to each one of us in Psalm 91, is that he will shelter us and hide us under His wings. So let's just read this passage together. This is from the New Living, and it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Let me just pause right there for a second, and I want you to notice that In order to find rest in the shadow of the Almighty, we live in the shelter of the Most High. So how do you do that? You know, Jesus talked in John 15 about, he gives this analogy of abiding in the vine, of remaining in Him, living and staying connected with Him, and that as we abide in Him, then we bear much fruit. So I want to point out that the key to walking in Psalm 91, in the promises of Psalm 91, is that we stay in His presence. We stay connected and in His presence. You know, when I'm in a place of fear, I don't hear from the Lord very well. I'm not going to say that I never hear, because I can think of times when I've been really overwhelmed with anxiety or stress or fear, and I still heard from the Lord, but it's a lot harder. When we are, you know, when you're facing something that's stressful, the best thing to do is, you know, for me, I mean, sometimes I need a little jump start. So I'll put worship music on. I'll just put worship music and I'll start worshiping. I'll start entering in to the reality that is represented in that worship music, the truth and the Spirit of God. And as I do that, it's like something inside just begins to shift. We begin to come into alignment, not with the earthly realm, but with the heavenly realm, right? With heavenly truths, with spiritual truth. And as we come into, because it says in Psalm 100, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, right? So, can you say amen? So for us to enter into God's presence, the key is come with thanksgiving and with praise. And as we do that, we are ushered into his presence. And when you're in his presence, that's where all the access to what's available in the spirit realm, in the heavenly realms, becomes accessible to us. Okay? So, amen. So verse 2, this I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Before I go on to the next slide, I want to just read verse 11 again. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. You know, probably most of us can think about times in our lives when we have been protected. Like there was no reason for why, you know, we didn't die, or why we weren't in this accident, or why something wasn't worse. You know, all of us have had, all of us have been protected angelically. All of us have had times when we have just been protected by God's angels, and that's not going to stop because of the coronavirus, right? He hasn't stopped giving his angels charge over his people. So, just remind yourself of that, you know, any tempted to feel anxious. And verse 14, it says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. You know, I was reminded as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about times. I was just thinking about different times when the Lord answered me when I called, when the Lord delivered me. And I can think right now, I can think of all kinds of times where he's been so faithful and he came through. But I want to tell you about one. I was with YWAM. I was on the Amazon River. I was actually on a boat, and I was with these Brazilian YWAMers, and we stopped at this missionary family's house, and I was not feeling well, and I kept getting worse and worse. And so when we stopped along the river, we were living on this boat, and we stopped there. I just stayed in my hammock. I couldn't even get out. I was not feeling well. They went up to the missionary house, and they fed them, and I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And living with these Brazilians, I mean, I lived like they lived. And so we would take our cup and we would scoop river water. We would just scoop the water out and drink it. And that's the way we lived. I mean, that was our water. So I'm in my hammock and I'm just getting more and more sick and I am just feeling horrible. And I don't know how far we are from a town or village. And to this day, I don't know really where we were. But I know we were a long way. And to get to a town or village where there'd be a clinic or a hospital, I'm sure it would have been hours of boat travel. I'm not really sure how long, and I don't know that I remember that well. But I remember being in my hammock and being really, really sick and getting worse and worse. And in my spirit, I know now that voice, but I knew him like, I just had this word, amoebic dysentery. And I didn't really know what that was, but I was pretty sure I had it. And so I was just horribly sick. I knew something was really bad. I knew it was the kind of sick, it's like you need the hospital. And I didn't know what, I'm just like, God. I just started, I'm praying. I'm like, Jesus, I need healing. I need help. And this missionary comes down. The rest of her, they're up. But this missionary comes down from his house, and he said, I heard you were sick, and I just want to pray for you. He laid his hand on me, and he prayed for me, and I was healed. I was completely healed. I mean, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes, whatever it was, I was up. I was out of my hammock, and I was healed. And the rest of the time, I was there on the Amazon River for, I think, at least another month, and, just living on this river with these Brazilians, I was fine. I never got sick again. So this is what the Lord does. This is our God in heaven. We have access to whatever it is we need because we have a Father who loves his children and he takes care of his children. And he's with us and he answers us when we call. And as I've sought the Lord, when I first became aware of the coronavirus, I had the word pandemic in my mind, and I don't think anybody was talking about that, but it had in my spirit, and so I had this sobriety about the coronavirus when really I don't know any reason why other than I just had something in my spirit. But when I sought the Lord, I immediately sobriety, the concern that I had for my prophetic gift went away. When I sought the Lord, I just began praying and seeking and listening to his voice, and I just heard him say, this is going to blow over. And so that I just want to just give you some confidence that you know, whatever it is we're going to face, I do believe it's probably going to look worse before it looks better. We're going to walk through something, and but we as the people of God need to take authority over this, and we need to, you know, I truly believe the enemy's plan is not going to happen. What the enemy means to do through the coronavirus, that's not happening. God has the final say, and we, as his children, we're taking authority over this, and that's, you know, it's going to go God's way. And so this is going to blow over, and we're gonna get through this. It's going to be fine, but I want to just say that there are, I think, some things in wisdom that we can partner with without partnering with fear. So, you know, probably this is familiar to most of us, but I guess I didn't make these come individually. But, you know, wash your hands. I mean, they're telling, you know, it's like, okay, just be aware. I did read that the coronavirus can last for 9 hours on, you know, on objects. Not 9 hours, 9 days. It can stay on an object for 9 days, like doorknobs, whatever. So be aware of that. Clean things, wash your hands, particularly when you're out in public. You know, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Social distance, avoiding hands and hugs. I hugged people today. You try to hug me, I'll hug you back. But you know, they're asking us to practice social distance. Here's the deal. The reason this is important, again, is you don't want to be the person that transmits the virus to somebody that has a weakened immune system or an elderly person or something like that. That's why it's important. And the virus has an incubation period of about 14 days. So, you know, anybody can be carrying the virus and not know it, not have symptoms for up to 14 days. So it's important for us to do our best to cooperate with what they're asking us to do. I want to say vitamin C. You know, I read this thing about they're having a lot of success in treating the coronavirus in China using vitamin C intravenously. High doses of vitamin C administered intravenously to those who are in the hospital. But it also said that, you know, for the rest of us, prevention, take extra vitamin C, 2,000-3,000 milligrams, I don't know, but just take more. And it just, you know, help boost your immune system. Staying hydrated is always a good thing. But also what I read was that, you know, you can, let's, you know, say you touch your mouth, you got the virus on your hand, you touch your mouth, and now you have the virus in your mouth. But when you drink, it washes it down into your stomach and the acid kills it. So if you don't allow yourself to get a dry mouth, just stay hydrated, drink a lot. And then for all of us, again, this is why Costco's out of toilet paper. I have no idea why. I'm like, okay, you stay home for two, or it's like, that's the most important thing to you is to have toilet paper? Okay, all right, you know, more power to you. But they're asking us just to be ready to stay home 2-3 weeks. One, if you get the virus, to go on quarantine. Two, if it's a widespread community spread, they want, you know, stop moving around. Stop people moving. That stops the spread of the virus, and that allows our medical system to stay ahead of it. Okay. And then, obviously, the most important things is that we have authority. I've been saying this. Pray continually. Let's all be in prayer, not from a place of fear, but from a place of authority, knowing our authority, that what we carry in Jesus and the authority that he's given us. And then, as I said at the beginning, staying in the secret place, just staying in the Lord's presence, and that place of confidence and peace and trust and joy, knowing we're covered. We have a Father in heaven. It's all fine. We're good. But stay in his presence, staying in worship, and praying Psalm 91 over your family, over our region, over Montana, over the U.S. Okay? So I started this message with some coronavirus humor, and I want to end the message with coronavirus humor, and then I'm going to have Matt Turner come up in a minute and join me, and we're gonna pray together. We're all gonna pray. But so this is the top 10 coronavirus jokes, and I know most of these are groaners, so I don't expect you to laugh. You're probably groan, but okay. Number 10, I know a great joke about coronavirus. You probably won't get it though. Number 9. A man walks into a bar and goes up to the bartender and says, "I'll have a Corona, please. Hold the virus." "I sneezed in the bank today. It was the most attention I've received in the last 10 years. Number 7. With all this talk of coronavirus, the people who make sanitizing gel are rubbing their hands together. Number 6. I went to the chemist today and asked the assistant, "What kills the coronavirus?" She replied to me, "Ammonia cleaner." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you worked here." Okay, that's never mind. I'm only a cleaner, I think, is what that's, you know. Okay, number 5. It's a bad joke when you have to explain it, right? Number 5, people with a cold, quote, sorry. "I just want to stay in bed and do nothing. I feel terrible." People with coronavirus. "I feel terrible. I think I will go skiing in Austria, visit the Eiffel Tower, and maybe do some whitewater rafting in Camino de Santiago." Number 4. "Don't worry, the coronavirus won't last long. It was made in China." I hope that didn't offend anybody. Number 3. Definition of irony: when the year of the rat starts with a plague. Number 2. Okay, so if the coronavirus isn't about beer, why do I keep hearing about cases of it? Okay. Oh, bad. That's bad. Okay, and number 1. Before this is a little funny, I think. Before coronavirus... okay, let me see if I can do this. Before coronavirus, oh man. I used to cough to cover a fart. Now I fart to cover a cough. Okay. Oh, and the last one. You may have heard that Tom Hanks has contracted the coronavirus. Did you guys hear that? Here's an update on how he's doing. If you've seen the Castaway movie, you'll get it. It's, okay. All right. Enough of that. Matt, you want to come on up here? oh, there it is. Thank you. Here we got a... Yeah, here's a mic. Because I didn't hear what you said.
Well, I was saying, that's right, that's good. Mm. And the reason why is because I really appreciate the fact that you connected us with courage.
Mm.
Like you connected us to the Father's heart of courage.
Amen.